Okay, we're going back to the book of Exodus, or the second book of Moses. Moses chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, I'm going to catch us up a hair. So we talked this morning. Moses was placed in the brink of the river in a little basket. And he was floating there in that little ark, as the Bible calls it. Of course, the sister found him. She brought him in. Pharaoh's daughter, excuse me, found him. She brought him in. His mom raised him for a certain amount of time. It doesn't really give us that time. But it does let you know that the most important years in a young person's life is about the first 4 or 5. That's what they're going to go with. That's who they're going to be. That they are very important years. Then in verse 11 on down, it talks about Moses grew up. And Moses at this time decided, he made a big decision in his heart, that he was not going to hang out with the Egyptians. He was not going to be one of them. He was going to be with his brethren, the Hebrews. Whether people like it or not, in these verses, it pretty much says Moses killed a man. And I don't mean in self-defense. He looked this way and he looked that way and he killed the Egyptian. However you want to look at that, there's a lot of people who argue that with you. But nonetheless, Moses did this. He tried to fit in with his Hebrew brethren, and it didn't work. He took off out of fear. He ends up out in the desert over in the land of Midian. He ends up helping these ladies there with their sheep that some people were bullying them around. And he stood up for him. It doesn't say what he did. I figured that would have been really interesting. So you can add in there in your thought pattern what he might have done. Listen, Moses was trained as an Egyptian. He was set up to be really the next Pharaoh. So he wasn't a weakling. He wasn't dumb. He was a smart man, a strong man. He knew about battle. In the process, this man named Jethro gives his daughter to Moses to be his wife, Zipporah. Now let's look at verse 21. That's where we're going to pick up at. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them. Now, let's back up a little bit because I want to talk about this. Moses is going to encounter God here in just a bit. Moses in verse 21, now Moses chose to turn his back on Egypt. He chose to suffer the affliction with his brethren, the Hebrews, rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. And he tells us this in Hebrews chapter 11, which we'll go there in a moment. But Moses did something that I'm afraid is prevalent today. Moses, it says, he was content. He got to a point in his life that he was just content with what he was doing and where he was at. Contentment is not always a good thing. Verse 15 tells us that he was in the land of Midian. When you think about the Midianites, who were they? What was the guy that wanted the fleece out there? Come on, somebody say it. He laid a fleece out, and then he said, Lord, he flipped the fleece over. I'll give you a hint. It started with a G. Gideon. Who did Gideon fight? He was fighting the Midianites. The Midianites were not that great a people. Matter of fact, Jethro was the priest of the Midianites. Moses got content with hanging out with these people. They were a bunch of pagans, really. You see, sometimes we get too comfortable with where we are in life. We have a problem. We run up on this problem and we're just going to live with it. We get complacent. We get and really complacent, if you look it up, it's you get very comfortable, but don't realize the dangers there are. See, there's dangers in getting too comfortable in life and just getting real content with being in that situation. You know, he was satisfied with doing nothing. Really and truly, when you read about Moses, what was he doing? Meandering around with a bunch of sheep. When really his thought pattern was, I'm going to help my brethren. But now where's he at? He's hanging out in Midian? Hanging out with the priest of Midian's daughter? He's now married to her? He's a stranger in a strange land, even named his son after his thought. You know, how would that be? Walk up to a guy and say, hey, my name's Jim, your name is Stranger. That's what the name meant. He knew he was in an area that really he shouldn't have been, but he got content with it. Now let's look at verse 1 of chapter 3. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. You know, sometimes we get way too comfortable, and a burning bush is sometimes what we need. Moses got way too comfortable where he was at. He was just content on messing around with the little sheep that his father-in-law had for him, hanging out where he was at, just meandering along, building a family there, but he just wasn't doing nothing. But a burning bush sometimes is what we need. It wakes us up to who we are and what we are. You know, because he had to ask himself, as we study this, am I a child of God? What's the question? Are you a child of God? You got a personal relationship with God? I'd say Moses didn't have a real good relationship with God. He just content meandering around out there. The last thing we know he did, where's it at? Thou shalt not kill. That didn't mean thou shalt not defend thyself. Thou shalt not kill. You should not premeditate. Basically, that's what he done. And then he's like, whoa, I'm in trouble. I'm out of here. Maybe Peter felt that way. You know, Peter says, oh, I don't know him. Oh, I don't know him twice. Oh, I don't know him. Guess what? Wonder how he felt when the rooster crowed. You know, there's Moses. He's running around the backside of the desert. We know that in chapter 11 of Hebrews 23, basically through 27, he said, I am not going to live in Egypt. I'm not going to be what they are. I'm going to go and suffer affliction with my brethren, the Hebrews. I don't want to have the pleasures of sin for just a little while. Because, oh, we better go read that. Go over to Hebrews 11. He says, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, but notice this. 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Ah, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I ain't even going to go there right now. Moses saw some things. Moses understood, in other words, people walk around in this world blind as a bat. Why? Because Satan has blinded them. But when they get the light, that changes things. But there he is. He's out there. You see, our world, we're in a lot of confusion today in this world. And we're in a lot of confusion about Christianity. That's where a burning bush might help us. Hey, how you doing? You go to church anywhere? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they ain't been to church in 30 years. And when they did go to church, it went to some pagan church. They're not a Christian. Listen, a denomination does not make you a Christian. That's true. God does. That our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes us a Christian. I'll be honest with you, not everybody that's saved is a Christian. The word Christian came really as a derogatory thing. It was a thing to be scared of. When they called you Christian in the day that it became, they used that word. Acts chapter 13, 14 somewhere. No, it wasn't. About 11 or 12 in there. It was used because Paul and Barnabas were acting like Christ, which wasn't the safest thing to do. Because if you remember, they hung Christ on the cross. But now all of a sudden everybody's a Christian just because I go to church. Listen, I'm not a Christian because I'm a Baptist. First and foremost, to be honest with you, I'm a biblicist. I had somebody ask me that one day. They said, what denomination are you? I said, well, it really ain't. I'm a biblicist. They said, a what? I said, I believe the Word of God. I said, I am a Baptist by name because I believe Baptists follow it closer than anybody else. And the Baptists start going real haywire, and some of them are, but if it gets to the point all of them start going haywire, I'm going to get rid of the name Baptist. I'll just go back to saying I'm a biblicist. Baptists don't get you to heaven no more than Catholic will get you to heaven or anything else. What gets you to heaven is your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need to take a biblical stand in this present day that we live. Moses was that bumper sticker I've seen, and I don't think they had bumper stickers on their chariots. But it said, you ever seen this one? Coexist. Moses was coexisting with all of what was happening where he was at. He had gotten content, and too many people are coexisting, and they go along with whatever, and they fit in with that, you're okay, just like you are, just you're okay. But that is what we're seeing today, and listen, we're losing really a whole generation and straight into the pits of hell. That's exactly what's going on. Because it's okay to not be okay. You're okay just to be whatever you are. Well, that ain't what the Bible says. That's not what God teaches. And we need to be careful with that. But listen, we're accepting paganism, embracing it as a country. The very ones that hit us in 9/11, 2001, we're just loving them up. Really? We're just embracing it, Islam and all that mess. Listen, the Israelites did that. Oh, we can coexist with them. It cost them big time. It's going to cost us. You see, people are dignifying man. They're placing man way up here and dehumanizing God. They're bringing God down to a level that we can deal with it. I ain't even going to say the guy's name, but there's a fellow who wrote a song about me and God, or God and me. We're just buddies. Listen, God ain't my buddy. God is the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything. We humans are the crown of His creation. He ain't our buddy. He's an Almighty God. But we want to bring Him down to the level of, oh, He's my buddy. My son ain't my buddy. He's my son. He's still my son at, I don't even know how old he is, 40s. Listen, he's a good, me and him love each other. He'd do anything in the world for me, I'd do anything in the world for him. And yes, I've called him my buddy before, he's called me, I've called him my best friend, but listen, nonetheless, he is my son, he ain't my close friend or my buddy. Too many families do that. The moms want to fit in and be the daughter's best friend. You can't. You don't have nothing in common. She's a child. You're the mom. She needs your direction. The same thing with a son and a father. They need direction. They don't need buddied up and patted on the back and said, you'll be okay. That ain't what they need, but that's where we're at. A lot of people's made a real mess out of all of that. You see, we need to be careful what we do. We need the fires of God, really, to wake up the children of God. To let them realize, listen, we got problems. And we do. As a nation, we have big problems. As churches, we have big problems. We don't get excited enough about things. Like I mentioned this morning, well, so-and-so got saved. Oh, that's good. Listen, we ought to be excited they got saved. Kaylani's mom, prayer after prayer after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Pray for my mama. Listen, that little girl loves her mama. But her mama's a mess. But right now, she may be getting it straightened out. That's a good thing. We need to be excited with her. And by the way, I hope you're praying for that woman. Because she needs it. Not to mention Kaylani needs it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And look, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burned up. I got to hand it to him. And when the Lord God, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see it, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, where the think about this, where the fire burns, there was a lot of bushes on that hillside. That area had bushes all over, but not all those bushes were on fire. There was only one that was on fire. It had one bush out there that was burning, and there was a lot of other bushes out there. There's some people that I'm going to do a comparison. It may not be the best in the world, but I'm going to do it anyway because the Lord laid it on my heart. There are some so-called churches out there, but not all of them got a flame. They just going and they're entertaining and everything's just meandering along. And yeah, they got money and they got numbers. And that's a big thing for them. But people go in there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And they go down the road and they get in a car accident and they die and go to hell because they hadn't heard a word about Jesus. Somebody down at a big fancy church down here on 95, we were talking when I first moved here 6 years ago. Sandy was talking to the guy, and he said, well, yeah, but they got some super bands. And she said, well, what do they tell you about Jesus? He said, Jesus. Well, I've never heard him play. That's what he knew about Jesus. That's sad. Now, Sandy gave him the plan of salvation, but I don't know whether he got saved or not. But that's what these people are doing. They don't have no flame. I'm going to tell you something. Wagon Wheel needs to make certain that we keep the fires of God lit and burning, be like a city on a hill. Everybody ought to be able to see it. People walk in this church, the members in this church, the flame ought to be so bright, and it ought to be so strong that it convicts their lives. We ought to realize, hey, I'm not okay just being okay. I've got some things I need to change. You see, we ought to have that in our lives. That fire ought to bring tears to the lost and fervent prayers for those who've gone astray. Do you know any lost people? Do we know anybody that's gone astray? Sure we do. Because the majority of them wasn't here this morning, they ain't here tonight. They should have been. Wasn't nothing wrong with them, they'd go everywhere else. Well, I just couldn't make it to church, but I'll see them in Walmart. You only had Sundayitis. But you see, it ought to be to the point that we're praying for these people and having tears for these people and fervent prayers for these people because they've gone astray. And the Word of God should always be preached straightforward and non-apologetic from this pulpit. And if I die tomorrow and you guys get somebody else in here, if he ain't preaching it straight, then boot his hind end out. And by the way, as church authority, you have the authority to do so as a church. You remove that individual. Get that person out of here because it'll destroy you. And I ain't apologize for what the Word of God says. Forget it. People say, well, you shouldn't bring up some of these other denominations. Listen, if they're teaching heresies, I'm going to tell you about them. Jesus did. Paul did. I'm going to do the same thing. You see, we should be here early enough, and we ought to be willing to stay long enough to take care of what Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says. We're to provoke each other to love. That's provoke, agitate. You think, well, that's making somebody mad. But we're provoking them to love. We ought to be here when we show up and somebody comes in, we ought to notice on that person's face something's wrong. And pray for that person. And when services are over with, we ought not to just, pew! Listen, there's people come here and leave so fast that you'd think we had the plague. We ought to be willing to stay and help people feel better. Go make a joke with them. Brother Tony come in today. Of course, he came in a little later, and he had that look, and I'm like, whoa, that ain't good. And Kyle had that look, and I'm like, huh. And then he come back there and wanted to talk to me. I said, hey, brother, let's go talk. Because I wanted to know what was going on. Well, he told me. He needs prayers. But listen, we need to make sure that we're doing what Hebrews 10:23, 24, 25 tells us to do. By the way, verse 25, probably my favorite. Forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. All right, that's all I'll say there. I'll let you deal with that one. A visitor ought to leave here thinking, wow, that's the most friendliest people, the most lovingest people I've ever been around. Each member, me, you guys, ought to leave here knowing that we are loved. Now, with that said, listen. You got to show yourself friendly to have a friend. You sit over there with a look like, yeah, come on over here. I'll lay you out. I ain't coming near you because I don't want to get hit. You got that look. You know, I'm going to say, whoa, they had a bad, no, I'll just pray for them. Listen, we need to be friendly with each other. And pray for each other. And when we leave here, we ought to know that we've got a group of people here that love each other. It should be that way. Something else that happened that Moses brought forth that we can use. It says he sees the fire burning and he's like, eh, whatever. And he went on meandering, minding his own business with his little sheep out there. You know, they're running around. Bah, bah, and he's like, huh, what's that? Guess what he did? He turned aside and he says, hey, I need to see this. I like how it says that. And when the Lord saw that he's paying attention. You ever wonder if the Lord thinks that? Well, that knothead, they're just sitting in the pew. He's playing a game or he's texting somebody. He don't even talk to you. But that one that's paying attention, that one that's searching, you see, the Lord deals with that person. By the way, that's true. You see what happened is Moses said, whoa, I got to go check this out. I need to see about this. And then what happened? Hey, Moses. You know, I'm sure when he first heard Moses, he probably thought, huh? Moses, whoa, that's coming out the bush. You know, in this day and time, somebody say, boy, I don't know what that was, but it was good stuff, Julio. listen. Moses paid attention to what was coming out of the bush. God was speaking to him, and he said, here am I. See, Moses already knew the Lord was talking to him. It hit him right off. He's like, whoa, God's talking to me. You see, we need to take time and take notice to what God is telling us. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, every day, hopefully you do, every day your devotion, listen for what God's going to tell you. Get you a pencil and a piece of paper and lay it down. And if something pops in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm smart. That's a good thought. Guess what? It ain't you. Believe it or not, it's God speaking to you. Verse 4 and 5, he says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Do you see, we and all our children for years and years has been programmed by the world. Oh, spiritual things it's a personal thing. You know, you don't want to blurt that out. You want to keep that tone down. You don't want that's a personal issue. I said something to someone years ago about being saved. Well, that's between me and God. I'm thinking, you need to get saved. Because according to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I got saved, I'm supposed to confess and tell others about God. It's not a hush-hush thing. Listen, the SEX, that's a quiet thing we should talk about behind closed doors. But salvation is not. There are some things we ought to keep to ourselves, and we shouldn't do it with a room full of mixed folk in here. We got some problems. Some of the men need to go to a room and talk about it. Ladies may need to talk. But when it comes to salvation, listen, it's not a quiet hush thing. No, we ought to be willing. Somebody asked me, I had a person, I told him I was the pastor of the church when they got here. And he said, so you saved? You know what? I could have said, you idiot, I'm the pastor. But I didn't. You know what I said? Yes, I'm saved. I got saved in 1984. Here, let me tell you about it. I was excited to let him know. But I've got people, you ask that, I've had people get angry. Well, you judging me? No, I asked for your testimony. You know, we're supposed to be willing to do that. But this world has programmed us to where we don't want to be a fanatic. You know, be careful now. Keep your tone down. You see, we're supposed to be holy and separated from this world. Yeah, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. Oh, well, that's a Hebrew thing. Because it was in Deuteronomy. All right. Well, who's the knothead that put it in Peter then? To the New Testament. Think about that. Apparently it's to God's children. We're to be peculiar people. We're to be a holy nation. Holy is to be separate from the trash we live in. We're supposed to stand out. It's a crooked and perverse world. And guess what? You can live that way. We're not supposed to be a part of the field. You see, Moses had a change in his life, and there should be a change in our life as well. And if you know a person that claims to be saved but they're living in sin, that ought to be the most miserable person you've ever met. And if they ain't miserable, they probably ain't saved. You see, God had a purpose for Moses. Verse 7 and 8, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. He heard their cry. By the way, that ought to be pretty comforting for us, that when we cry unto the Lord, He hears us. That ought to be a great comfort to you and me. But God had a purpose. Isn't Moses who led them out? Moses is probably the greatest leader that has ever walked the face of the earth. He didn't just lead out a handful of folk. They had probably 3 or 4 million people. Not to mention all the flocks they had with them, the sheep and whatever else they brought with them. He did a great task. You see, we've been given a command as well to spread the gospel, to teach the word of God, to set the right example in a crooked and perverse world. Are you doing that? We should be. If we're not, we need to back up and say, you know what? I'm too content, apparently, with doing nothing. There ain't a chair in here that floats around all week long waiting for your hind end to sit in it. They all stay right there on the floor. It's called gravity. We don't have to hold them down and do nothing. Listen, we can all do something for the Lord. It may just be praying. Simple as, how many of you in here go to the store? Raise your hand. At least once a month. Miss Judy, you don't go? Oh, okay, I didn't see your hand. Hannah's head's in the way. All right, so everybody I see in here goes to the store once a month. That's a good thing. Leave a track. That's doing something. That's what we ought to be doing. Because honestly, if you think about it, our nation's in shambles. It needs the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Verse 10 and 12, it says, God said to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Are you kidding me? You want me to go down to Egypt? He didn't add this in, but he's thinking in his mind, the last time I was there wasn't a good thing. it didn't turn out well. I had to leave. Listen, God knew that. But he says, I want you to go down there and bring them out. Moses says, who am I that I'm going to do that? We ain't much. We really ain't. I know some of you think you're way up here. Some of you may think you're way down here. The truth of the matter is, we're a speck of dust in the whole nine yards when you look at it. But with God, we may not be much, but with God, listen, we can be everything. I guarantee you, when Moses was standing there at the Red Sea and all those soldiers were coming to kill all them Israelites, around 3 million or so, Moses was probably thinking, we got problems. Until the Red Sea parted. And they were probably looking at Moses, you idiot, you brought us out here, now they're going to kill us. And the Red Sea spread open when he raised that rod, and they all started thinking a little different of Moses then. It was like, whoa, wait a minute, Moses, you're all right, dude. You know, when it comes to God, all things are possible. Now, these next verses, well, I got ahead of myself. They ought to bring you peace and comfort, because verse 24 and 25 that we read, and then we read, I believe it was 7 and 8, they cried out to God, and God heard them. And I told you, that ought to bring you great comfort to know that the Lord hears. Don't panic. It's 7:04. We're almost done. You see, the Lord just laid this one on my heart because of the fact that we ought to have comfort and peace knowing that we can call out on God. Go with me to the book of Romans. This is the last thing. Book of Romans chapter 8. I want everybody to go there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Amen. All right. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, some of the greatest prayers that's ever been prayed were nothing but groanings. You didn't know what to say. There's been some times in my life that I fell on my knees and I'm like, I didn't know what to say. I'd opened it up with, Lord, I don't know what to say. I really don't. I've prayed for other people because of their burden that they had or their grief they were going through, but I didn't know what to say. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in there, and he expresses our feelings and our burdens to an almighty God. Man, that's special. We probably ought to have more prayers like that, because that's from the heart. That's serious stuff. And I ain't talking about the heart where I got that stent at. I'm talking about the heart. It's the center of my emotions, my spirit. It's right in there. I don't know where, but it's there. And when I pray from that, in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, he takes what I'm saying and fixes it. He takes what I can't seem to bring out in words, and he brings it to the Lord. And the Lord blesses me as he sees fit, his will. You know, throughout the life of Moses, if you study him, you'll find out he had many encounters with God. And God was with him. He told him, he said, hey, you to go to Egypt, surely I'll be with you. Later on, after he had led them all out, God got mad and he says, you know what, you guys go on. He says, you take them, Moses, you lead them. And Moses said, if you ain't going, we ain't going. Listen, if God ain't going with you, you better not be going. Because you're going to have some problems. You see, we'll have many encounters with God in our life. And the real blessing out of all that is that God will be with us just like he was with Moses. Right along every step of the way. And always keep it in mind that wherever you're walking, you're on holy ground. Because who's with you? The Lord.